I was brought on last minute tonight, so I had to kind of rummage around for some pitches.
Oh, it's okay. Me too. Mine.
Okay.
Brian explicitly told me to try to do something lighter.
It's too week. Dark.
Wait, what did we even do last week? I forget.
I mommy. Loved yeah, last mommy. Week.
Last week yeah, was so good. Was he was like, try to do something lighter. So I brought something that like could be lighter, but we could also go in a weird direction with it.
Okay, no, that's helpful to know actually, because I had a horror pitch, and I had a something that could be anything from a drama to like a family comedy. I'll go lighter too. How about that, Brian? We're gonna be cotton candy this week.
Yeah. Brian, we're gonna be the most fun, most light hosts you've ever had.
Nobody wants to listen to our show. It's depressing.
Oh my goodness. Hello and welcome to Can We Save the Cat, your favorite writer's room and entertainment podcast, where we throw some ideas out there, vote on one to develop, and then turn it into the next big thing. I'm one of your hosts, Danny Hanks, writer and director, and joining me in the writer's room today we have...
Award-winning novelist Andrew Brandt.
And writer-director-producer Tiffany Albright.
Is this deja vu? No, it's a whole new episode with your three new favorite hosts. Hey. Yeah, welcome back, Tiffany and Andrew. It's so good to be back in the room with you. I'm very excited to see what we can pull out of our of where the sun don't shine and put together today.
A potentially lighter and brighter episode.
Yes, we're gonna aim for something a little less dark than Mommy, which I still think was really great, but I do understand how some people can be a little weighed down by those concepts when they really come and get you in the middle of the night.
You know, we're versatile. We've got this.
Yeah, my what are you watching is not going to be light because I'm going to spoil it here. I finally watched Squid Game and it fucked me up.
Oh, yikes.
Like, it screwed me up, like proper depressed for a whole 24 hours. Oh, so geez. Good, though. So good.
Goodness.
Like the good kind of depressed.
Where I want to have a long offline conversation about that. I have many feelings about Squid Game.
Oh my God, yes. I absolutely love that. Curious to hear all of your thoughts. Also, I love how everybody's like, nobody knew about Korean cinema until now. It's like, no, it existed.
No.
You just didn't watch it.
Yeah. Welcome to Can't We Save the Squid?
Can We Save the Squid?
Your weekly...
Where only one of us will survive by the end of this and walk away with $44 billion.
Lighter and brighter, Danny. Lighter and brighter.
Lighter and brighter. All right. Speaking of who wants to be our number one to hop into pitches this week?
I think I went first last week, so one of you two.
Okay. So I was trying to think of something that would be fun to do, and... Long story short, I was thinking about like spiders for some odd reason. I don't know why I was going to be like spider pitch, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be really fun to break the story of the old lady who swallowed a fly? So that is the the inspiration. Wherever we go with it, I feel like we could go comedy, we could go drama, we could go horror. Like we could go weird with it. But yeah, that's what I was thinking, because like she swallows a spider too. So yeah, mine is the old lady who swallowed a fly. It just came up and I was like, ooh, how could we turn this kid's idea into something bigger?
We get to answer that question. Perhaps she'll die. Well, will she?
Will she?
That's fun. In an upbeat sort of way.
Yeah, you know, lighter and brighter. All right, Tiffany.
All right. So this feels like a holiday pitch, but it doesn't need to be. I think it just sort of comes up in my family a lot at the holidays, probably for other people too, though. Let me know. So the general premise is two sisters who independently and without the other's knowledge, take these sort of ancestry, 23andMe, DNA kits as gifts from their spouses, right? So like, I'm thinking Christmas, I've already had three people freaking tell me they wanted this thing for Christmas this year. But through taking them and going, oh, haha, did you get XYZ? They realize that they're not actually related at all. And the story is their journey of figuring out what is true and what is not true about their family backgrounds.
Yeah, that's definitely something that comes up a lot in my family.
Yeah,
for sure. The DNA tests, not figuring out that we're from different backgrounds.
I haven't had that yet, but hopefully it's coming.
My mom is like crazy about 23andMe and all of those other ones. So yeah, no, I totally get it.
They're super
popular.
All right,
Andrew, bring us home.
I'm bringing a rom-com.
Yes.
This is one of those things that's, I think, kind of typical for young, athletic, nerdy, white guys like me who wanted to impress their friends. Like, what did you do over, you know, summer break? Like, oh, I met a girl. Oh, yeah, what's her name? Rachel. But she doesn't live here. She lives in Canada, or, you know, we met her on vacation. Anyway, it's this story about this kid that convinces his friends, he lies to his friends that he met this girl on vacation. He makes up this entire lie about how they kissed on the beach, you know, wherever they were. But he does have a photograph that he like just found of some random girl, like a strip from a photo booth strip.
Yeah.
And the rom-com part is 20 years later. So now it's now time. He meets this girl, realizes like, I know this face. I have seen this face for every day of my life when I was 15 years old. You're the girl that I had this crush on that I lied to my friends about. And so it's like him wanting to date her to kind of like get back into like reattached to his youth, but then also not wanting to sound like a creep.
Like, I've been fake in love with you, stalking you for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very you, you know? Like the TV
but,
show.
But lighter and brighter.
Right. You, but lighter and brighter. Less murder.
That's less murder, more awkward teenage and awkward adult. Think like 40-year-old virgin awkwardness with some like super bad teenage stuff too.
That's a lot of fun. When I was a teenager, we totally pranked one of my friends and we found some like stock photo of some girl on the internet and emailed him pretending to be her and like got him to be totally in love with her. And it was so funny because I would have him over to my house and then one of us would go to the bathroom and like send an email and then he'd be like, oh my God, she
catfished your own friend.
Yeah, we catfished our own friend. It was pretty bad.
He didn't try to steal his baby, did
he? No. Although, to be fair, why did he believe that some random girl randomly found his email? To be fair.
Because the mid-2000s were weird.
That's true. That's very true. All right. Let's go ahead and get some voting up in here. I'll go first. And I think I'm going to go with Tiffany's today. I feel like we could have a lot of fun with the gene stuff. And there are a lot of different ways that it could go, which we could explore some of those wacky ways if we really wanted to go kooky, crazy hijinks with it. Like, who are their families? Or it could be super dramatic. So yeah, I'm gonna do DNA tests because I feel like that's something that is happening a lot these days.
Like, what if you found out your wife was actually somehow your cousin through some extramarital affair kind of thing?
Dear Whoops. God.
I'm from the South, so there are several close calls in my near and dear circle.
Oh my gosh.
Yikes.
Well, there's
Yikes.
Also the guy, there's also like the doctor who was the fertility doctor.
Oh, that jerk.
Inseminated like 70 people or whatever with his own semen. And so, like, they're all related.
Yeah. Yikes.
Ooh. So, yeah, lots of options there. Lots of options there.
All right.
Tiffany?
I think, and this is only because of our directive, really, that I can't tell the story about the old lady who swallowed the fly without it being a body horror. So I think I have to go Andrew's because I can actually have fun there and not like be terrible.
Not like a Junji Ito, like.
Oh my gosh. Although, yeah, let's circle back when we do recycled episodes, because yes. I want to break the hell out of that story. But Andrew's absolutely. This time.
And here's the thing is I can't do Lady and the Fly without it being a horror story. I can't do DNA tests without it coming out some creepy kind of thing. I'm going to reach into my inner Justin and vote for myself.
There we go. Standing up for yourself. I dig it. All right. Let's do it. We got a new Justin on the pod. I support it. I support it. All right.
This is all because of Brian's directive.
Yes. Brian told us today to be lighter because the mommy was dark and heavy. So, all right, let's think about it. How can we make this super creepy?
Brian's like, I hate all of you.
How can we make this really heavy? Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. It's this kid who made up this entire thing, and then he finds, like, this woman. So is he...
Yeah.
I guess my question is he single when he meets her, or is this, like, a weird, like, he's having relationship issues with his wife, and then he meets this woman, and she ends up being kind of like the manic pixie dream girl, but also bringing him back to his wife. What are we feeling here?
No. I think he was awkward in school, and he's kind of awkward as he grew up. But I imagine like the first 10 minutes, you know, first 5-10 minutes of this thing is just an introduction to how he was awkward. You know, you have the splash screen of like, bam, August 2002, right? So right. You're immediately there, and it's, yeah, everybody's coming back into school, and you know, how was your summer break? And all of his friends, of course, like, yeah, you know, I made out with some chick on, you know, in a stairwell in some hotel somewhere. And oh yeah, well, I it was some girl in San Francisco. What did you do, Jake? Yeah, me too, guys. Yeah, definitely. I made out with a female, you know. And like, no, you didn't. It's like, yeah. I imagine like he found this picture frame thing from like one of those photo booths. Like has like the three images. He's like, yeah, and look, you know, she gave me her pictures. And really, he's just lying about it. And they're like, oh yeah, cool. So he like has this thing in his nightstand, and he's like, man, I would love to be able to meet a girl like this someday. And then poof, flash forward 20 years, and now it's 2022, and he's 37, 38 years old, and just a regular nerdy guy that all of his friends are married and divorced and married again and have kids. Yeah. And, you know, when are you going to find your perfect woman? And I'm holding out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just he's kind of, like I said, I was going for the lighter and brighter awkwardness of like the 40-year-old virgin with the friendship camaraderies of like super bad.
So I have a concept.
Okay.
Here we go. First concept of the night. But what if part of the reason why he is awkward and why he's like covering his tracks with this is because he's gay? And then it turns out when he meets this person as an adult, the woman is trans and is like a trans man now. And so when he first sees him, he's like, I know that. Like, how do I know this face? Oh my God, like, I know your face. But it turns out that it is the same person. It's just this person has transitioned. And so it's like a queer love story.
Yeah.
You know, I love a queer love story.
Right? Exactly. Because I was also...
Let's make it happen.
I mean, the other thing could be that... I mean, you could go the opposite way with it too. That like he's dealing with gender stuff and ends up being trans. And then he meets the woman after he's transitioned to being a woman. But I was like, how do we... I don't know. What are some interesting ways that we could take this? Like, is there one of those that stands out to you? But I think it's really interesting insofar as like we could play a lot with like a person, like when you transition, you have like a former identity and then you have, you know, your current identity. And there's a lot of feelings that people have about whether or not those two merge or whether you leave one behind to become the next version of yourself, or whether you were always this way. Like there are a lot of thoughts and people have a lot of different opinions and different lived experiences when it comes to transitioning. So I was like, how could we, that sort of transition in time made me think of like transitioning gender wise. So I'm trying to think of how we can maybe develop both of those together.
You know, I think you might be onto something if you take I Love You Man and turn it romantic here, where he's, you know, if you remember in that movie, Paul Rudd was kind of awkward, but like, you know, just trying to find a best man for his wedding thing. Yeah, and so yeah. It was like a romantic comedy with two buddies, but you could actually do that now with a romantic comedy of this awkward like guy who's, yeah, you know, you living his life and maybe has finally come out, and that's why he was so awkward as a kid and like wanted to prove to his friends like, yeah, you know, I definitely made out with a female chick person. Absolutely. Just like you guys, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, cause I actually love that when he's an adult and he sees this person across the room, he's like, I know that face.
Yeah.
And they hit it off too. And that's the thing. They hit it off and they, you know, the banter and there's like kind of a buddy, but also like a flirty banter between them.
Yeah.
Like, man, I know this. Where have I seen you before? I just moved to town.
Yeah, I almost wonder in that case if we don't really know, like, if our protagonist doesn't realize who this is until a little bit further on in the movie, like 30, 40, 50 pages in, because this entire time it's this love story. And, you know, maybe we do learn about when, interestingly enough, maybe we do have like flashbacks to when they were kids. And maybe he did actually meet this girl, but they didn't make out. Like maybe maybe they were friends and he's like, oh my God, like you helped me to realize that I was gay. And the trans man is like, oh, really? Like you helped me to realize that I was trans. Like it was a weird summer for both of us, even though they didn't do anything romantic. There was like this weird tension between the two of them. Cause that's the other fun thing to play with is that sometimes attraction doesn't necessarily fit into the same sort of boundaries that we think it does. So he, as a kid, could have been attracted to this person and still be gay. Like doesn't know why this particular female human is like attractive to him, but like there is this buddy relationship. And then when they when they both get older, they're like, oh my God, that summer of us just being bros like helped me realize what my life is supposed to look like.
Yeah, I actually love that where they both kind of reminisce on, you remind me of this girl that I met on vacation when I was 15 in, I don't know, Kissimmee, Florida. And it's like, I met this guy and it's like, it clicks with him. Like, oh my, you're him.
Yeah.
And you're him too.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it could even be like, he could think that it's like a brother or something and maybe be in denial. Because there's some weird, I mean, if we really wanted to play with it, there's some weird exclusivity in the LGBT community around trans people. So it could be like a little bit of maybe he doesn't understand this trans person's lived life. Like he doesn't understand or empathize with that point of view. So it's really shocking to him. And that could be like almost a breaking point in their relationship.
Yeah. You know, you get to the all is lost moment in Act 3, and it's like...
Because it could also be an identity crisis for him. If he, like, sees this person again, that could be the all is lost moment, is he's, like, he's having this identity crisis where he's, like, but you're, you know, you're a man, sure, but, like, quote-unquote man. Like, if you have different equipment, you know, how am I supposed to call myself gay if I'm basically dating a woman? You know, he can kind of have these internalized transphobic things happening within him that he doesn't even realize. And then this trans man is like, I'm a man. I was a man when you met me. Like, I was a boy. Yeah. You treated me like a boy. That's the only reason why I liked you, is because you actually treated me like who I am.
I didn't treat you like a boy. I was just too awkward to treat you like a girl.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah, there's a lot of really... rich, complicated stuff going on there.
And I want to kind of pull this back from you just a little bit, Danny, and kind of hone in on the awkwardness of this guy.
Yeah.
And kind of the hijinks that they get into in their bro / dating as they're older now.
Okay.
I wouldn't have those heavy conversations later in the story, but I really wanted this to kind of be light and bright. Like Brian asked.
My question for you is, let's just name our main characters so he's easy to follow. let's just name him Brian. All right. No, we'll name him like Bryce. Bryce. Okay. Yeah. So
Bryce and Jake, who was Jacqueline.
Yes. Perfect. So is Bryce out now? Would be my question.
Bryce is out now, okay, as an adult. Yeah.
But is he one of those guys who is publicly out, or is he only like if you
inner
know
circle.
Him? Because that might add to the awkwardness, mm-hmm, if he's like one of the guys who tries to really come off as straight and he's, mm-hmm, really, you know, trying to be quote unquote normal because maybe he lives in kind of a suburb or like part of a big city that's not really accepting. Yeah. And so he tries to be like one of the bros.
You mean like the South?
Like the South, or even like sometimes I think Silicon Valley can have a little bit of that. The South, I mean, like,
let's put him in Dallas.
Or even just to make it like intensely personal, right? Because we haven't really gotten into who he is, but like just a really private person. Like, my life in the bedroom is not y'all's business.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where his awkwardness, when we meet him as a teenager in the first 5 to 10 minutes, of where that awkwardness comes from.
Yeah.
Is not being so sure of himself.
Yeah.
And that could be his character arc, because he's not so sure of himself even as an adult until he meets,
yeah, that's
Jake.
Like reflective of a larger personality type and something that he might have to overcome.
And I think, yeah, what Jake really brings to the table is this
assuredness,
right? Because, yeah, Bryce is so much on, you know, is everybody else understanding me? Does everybody else see who I am? And, mm-hmm, Jake is very much like, don't care about what anybody else thinks as long as you know, yeah, yourself, right? And so that can be the push and pull, is Bryce is really dependent on other people and getting other people's approval. And Jake is very much like, fuck them all if you can just be yourself, yeah, and be happy.
Again, I mean, we're dealing with the Paul Rudd and the big guy, Jason Segel. Yeah, we play with that kind of interaction, but then twist it romantically.
Yeah. So speaking of, let's go ahead and hop back to kind of the beginning. We know we have the setup with them meeting as teenagers. How do they, mm-hmm, meet as adults? And then, like you said, like, what are some of the weird datey things that go on? Like, I don't think from the beginning that Bryce specifically is going into this thinking, oh, I'm going to date this person. Like, I don't think, yeah, that he's even pursuing that. He's just like, I need to talk to this person and figure out who the hell they are, because I know that face.
Yeah. You could do it something simple, contrived, like his friends are trying to set him up with somebody. Mm-hmm. And, ooh, actually, I like this. Okay, so scene, his friends are setting him up with a girl.
Okay.
Again.
And again. And she doesn't show. And so he's sitting at the bar by himself. And this other dude, Jake, is sitting at the bar by himself. There, he gets stood up. Yeah. Happens. Was she hot? I have no idea. Yeah, she's definitely hot, you know. you know, they start talking, and then, like, you cut, like, now they're playing darts together and they're laughing, and then at the end of it, like, man, I know you from somewhere. Like, no, I just moved to town. Company moved us out here, so I'm just a few weeks just getting to know people. I know you. I've met you somewhere.
Yeah.
And next day, it's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm working. What are you doing? I'm down in Deep Ellum. This band's about to go on. You would come hang out?
Well, yeah, because I got your number because I offered to show you around town because you're new.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it could also be the type of thing where it's like, man, like, I know your face. Like, when we're both sober, let's figure out where I know you.
Yeah.
When we sobered up a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So then we have kind of these fun bro-y things. I think there's definitely some sort of connection with whatever vacation they went on that they, mm-hmm, met each other on. You know, if they both went a bad version horseback riding, and then they go horseback riding again, and like that's the moment when he realizes, oh my god, you're Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Or
aha, they went to Disney World, and so
making
whenever
this a big budget film.
Right. Yes. So when, well, all you have to show is Jake's apartment. Invites him over or something, and he's got a picture, his family, and the ears.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when Bryce has that aha moment, like, oh my God, you're Jacqueline.
Yeah, that could be really fun.
Yeah, I dig that. Okay, so we...
And there's almost there, too. Like, you can have the... As they're getting to know each other, like, Jake's like, I you know, there's something I got to tell you, but just not really sure how to... When to bring up that conversation of I'm trans.
I also think that we could play a little bit with... it doesn't necessarily have to be explicit, but from the get-go, I think... We could play with if they both got stood up on a date, that like Jake immediately clocks that like Bryce is gay, and basically makes a comment or makes a joke or something that goes over Bryce's head, but would be like a queer flagging moment that Bryce just doesn't get but plays along with. And so this entire time, like, Jake thinks they're dating. Jake is like, yeah, like, this is totally what's happening. Like, you are 100% hitting on me, but, you know, I'll take it slow because you seem to be a little bit shy about it. And the entire time, Bryce is just like a nervous wreck. And part of me is like, maybe he's like barely out to himself in a way, or he's only out to his closest friends, but kind of like decided that he's never going to come out to his family and he's just going to be single.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I know at least where I live, my gay friends, the dating pool is incredibly small.
Yeah.
So if, like, Bryce's friends said, like, there's this guy that I work with. He's really cool. He's really cute. I think y'all get along. Would you be interested in meeting with him? And the guy stands up, poor Bryce. And so he's sitting at the bar by himself, and Jake's at the bar by himself.
Yeah. And Bryce can kind of fumble on like whether it was a man or a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something that you said, Andrew, that I really liked about the idea that like, that maybe he was doing a little bit of, that Bryce was doing a little bit of like posturing and like leading with the wrong thing. Like the idea that he was like, yeah, but she was really hot. Right. Like that's just like totally ridiculous, but like super awkward. Like I'm trying to fit in and like, seem cool, but like I don't know the language, and this sort of ties into Danny's idea of like coded language and how we sometimes are familiar with what the right things to say in certain spaces are and sometimes we're not, right? So if he's not familiar with, you know, the scene in his area, he's never been like an out gay person, right? Then the idea that like Jake has so much of an advantage on him and is maybe even like using it not to like make fun of him, but like is getting some entertainment value out of like letting him continue to step in it because he's just being like so ridiculous.
And I want Bryce to have those awkward moments of like, see you tomorrow, bro stuffing.
Oh, God, yes.
Did you just call me bro stuffing?
But it's like cute bro and stuffing. Endearing. But is like, but is also maybe like indicative of, because I think it would be great too to layer something on top of the conflict of like the will they won't they that is not just about like their sexuality, right? And like personal identity, right? So it doesn't just become like an adult version of a coming out story, but is like also some deeper, and not that it has to be deep, right? But like that there's some other kind of personal growth going on, right? So like if Bryce's problem is that he's always trying to fit in and be something that he's not, and Jake has already discovered how to be the person that he is, right? That is part of Bryce's lesson. And whether that's at like work or in another interpersonal relationship with like a family member or something, that he has to stop pretending, ideally about something that's not related to whether or not he's gay, right? Like as like a B story.
Yeah, what comes to mind in that, and I mean this still kind of plays into the sexuality part of it. But I think one of the ways that that could manifest is that Jake is pulling Bryce into this scene. And part of the reason why Jake is awkward is because he doesn't fit in with like a quote unquote normal scene. So bringing him into kind of a, like, I can see a moment where they go to a really big queer event, like in Dallas, like, and it's huge and it's very flamboyant. And at first Jake is like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I'm really,
They have a giant pride parade in Dallas every year.
And then Bryce just like gives him like a mask or some sort of like big face covering or whatever. And is like, you can be, you know, nobody can see who you are. Just be yourself. And so that, I mean, yeah, I'm wondering what the B plot would be. Maybe something with work, but something where he's like not standing up for himself, where he's not being himself, and he's being really complacent to what other people want as opposed to voicing his own opinions.
Let's make him a music promoter.
Okay.
Fine.
And
lots of posturing. So
yes, lots of posturing. And his job is to bring big bands into these clubs in downtown Dallas. And one of the other promoters that works for the agency seems to always get the big bands and get the big checks. And like, dude, you just got to be like me. Yeah, you get the chicks and go drinking and just do body shots off the tits. And, it's just, just having like this complete douchebag to where the climax of the B plot is Jake knows some band and helps him bring in this act to this club, and it's this big deal, and Jake or Bryce can F you to the douchebag and do it his own way.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of seems like we sort of have our beginnings, our like fun and games of the guys like hanging out. So then Bryce figures out who Jake is. I guess I'm having trouble like tying the entire thing together and pulling all of these big themes in.
Sure. There's a big music festival that's coming to Dallas, and their job is to bring these bands into town. And what bands that they're going to promote and to bring to this music festival. And the end is Jake is Bryce's date. He's outed. This is my date. And he takes him with all of his friends. And this is, guys, this is my date. This is my boyfriend.
I like that as a happy ending. And then I think, as with all romantic comedies, right? Second half of Act Two, he's got to really fuck up somehow. He's got to drive Jake away and it could be work related, right? Like by taking the bad advice and being just a complete dickhead in some public place that they were supposed to be together. And
So I kind of like that, because what we could do is we could do something like Jake was going to take him to, let's just say it's the Pride Parade, right? Or it's some big after Pride party, and there's this particular artist for this sake, let's just say it's Lady Gaga.
Love it.
Because queer icon. But there's this particular artist that Bryce is gunning to meet, right? And so Jake is there being like, oh, we'll go to this party, it'll be fun, we'll just like figure it out. And Jake is,
what's our budget? Because it may not be able to be Lady Gaga, but it could be King Princess.
I love her. I love them. King Princess could totally be King Princess. Also, I know somebody who knows King Princess, so yes,
let's make this movie.
What we could do is it could be like Bryce goes into it thinking, all right, I got to be this big music guy, and is just like doing shots off of all of these guys' abs and is like going crazy in this big scene to try to get a lot of attention. And lo and behold, it does get the attention of King Princess, but his date, like, he basically stands up Jake in the process.
Jake is kind of left by himself. And again, you're with the theme of Jake is new to town. Yeah, he knows some of these people, but what he's looking for is connection, and community, and who is now his best friend and his love interest is kind of off doing weird stuff now. Because like, dude, you gotta just get in there and be an alpha bro, you know what I'm saying?
I can so easily see it. It's so distasteful, but it's right. It's the right thing.
That's so sad.
But Bryce is going to learn, right? Bryce is going to be like, oh, I did really mess that up.
Yeah. Well, and, I think Bryce can realize that the douchebag that he works with, let's call him Doug the Douche, I don't know, is like completely friendless. After he drives Jake away, there's some after work event or something, and all these people are going, and he realizes like Doug is not invited.
And nobody likes Doug. It can be the big thing of like Doug is a big name dropper, but he can only book the bands once.
Yes.
Like maybe that's the thing. Because he finds out that, like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and he's like, you making six figs yet, bro? Yeah, still in that five fig, bro? You know, like, we'll just make him just. Yeah, what's Pauly Shore? What's Pauly Shore up to these days? Let's get him on there soon.
Oh gosh. Okay, cool. So it sounds like we have sort of our
every time Doug walks in the room, "Ants Marching" by Dave Matthews Band is playing.
Brian, can we get 20 seconds of that, under 20 seconds of that to play right here? Because I think that way we're copyright covered, question mark. Thanks, Brian. Okay, cool. So we have them, they meet. I guess going back to our sort of A plot of them having met before, what is A, like, what's the childhood moment that brings them back together after all is lost? Like, what's the thing that they did as kids that they finally do again? And B, how does Bryce handle learning that Jake is trans? Because I feel like that is a big thing that we haven't quite placed in our plot yet. Like, when does that come out and how does he handle that? I mean, is it that he doesn't know until after the big pride party? Is it that, you know, like, what, when do we figure that out?
I don't know the second part of that yet, but the first part you asked about, like, what makes them, what of their childhood makes them kind of come back together, is Bryce realizing that he was a complete dick, mails, like, sends in a package his Mickey Mouse ears to Jake.
Oh yeah.
So cute.
Okay.
And with a note that said, like, "I told you I'd never forget you." You know that.
Okay, something like, okay.
With an invitation to the, you know, the big party, big music festival thing that's inviting you to the VIP section.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way to, like, also, like, sort of tie it together with thinking Disney, right? Like, thinking the idea of, like, magic, sprinkling of fairy dust. There may even be something, like, literally in, like, the technical, like, magic of the film where we can do that. But, like, if there can be, like, these little references maybe to it, because I also wondered about, like, the moment when they realize, Danny, if, like, it is just some sort of, like, the magic of the first kiss, if maybe they did have, you know, like, the briefest of kisses before, and, like, somehow across space and time, like, my lips recognize your lips, like, it's magic. What else can you say?
Yeah,
I'm wondering if we could play hard into the like, almost if we went with bad version, but bear with me here, if part of the thing was, as a kid, Jake was like, "I'm just a frog and, like, nobody wants to kiss me." And then it's the whole thing of, like, well, what if you kissed a frog and instead of me being a princess, I was a prince or something like that. Like, we could play with some sort of underlying theme, because there is this thing of transformation in the Princess and the Frog story, except for in this version, Bryce is, like, quote unquote, the princess, which it could be, like, even as kids, they all make fun of me for being, you know, effeminate, basically. They all call me a princess. They all say that, like, I'm not one of the real boys. And she's like, well, I'm just a frog. Like, I don't feel right. Like, I'm not in my right body. Like, I just feel like a frog. And then when he sends Jake the note, he sends something like, "I'm a princess. And when I kiss the frog, like, I got my prince." Something that's, like, affirming and very sweet.
I mean, you could even do that in that first 10 minutes, like I said. Just have the school bully, like, "Hey, princess." Yeah, that kind of thing. And just to set that up.
Especially because that could be part of the thing. They're like, "Oh, he went to Disney." Yeah. "Oh, he likes going to Disneyland."
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say there might be some, like, a slightly more nuanced version of that in a second draft, but, like, as a big, bold idea, I really love it for our first draft.
Oh, me too.
Yes. Okay, cool. Okay, so I like that symbolism.
So in this version, then, they do actually meet as kids, and they do share, again, it's very brief in that introductory first 10 minutes where it's, you know, you see them on vacation, then they go back to school, and
I wonder if as kids they, like, don't kiss, And then when they do kiss, that's when he realizes.
Yeah, I wonder if it's maybe like an almost.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, they get really close, and then there's an interruption. My gosh.
Here's the thing, because this ties it into the end. The picture portrait thing, Jake gives that to Bryce as kids. Like, this is to remember me. And so he has this his entire life. And so at the end, when he realizes he was a dick, he wants to win him back. He sends his ears and those pictures. Like, I remembered you for my entire life.
Yeah.
You were my prince.
No.
Oh. That is so cute.
You were never the frog. We're two princes. Everybody cries. Yes.
Yes.
Everybody cries.
And then King Princess plays us out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, my last question is truly, you know, it seems like we have, now we have like the music producer plot line. When in that chronology do they have the first kiss? When does Bryce realize that Jake is Jacqueline? And how does Bryce respond to that? Like, one version of it would be they have the kiss. That's like our midpoint, or like our midpoint of the second act.
I want an almost kiss in the midpoint. Okay. I want the full kiss at the end.
Okay, so maybe in the almost kiss, he realizes that Jake used to be Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. He kind of like freaks out a little bit, but it's like, oh no, it's totally okay. And then when they go to this music thing together, he treats Jake like shit by going and being this big music producer. And then when they come back, Jake is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bryce kind of realizes how much he's messed up.
Well, and Bryce, I mean, still in that angry moment, Bryce is like, you know, you want me to do all this crazy stuff with you. And I was happy in my vanilla life. And
Yeah.
There can be some sort of,
you know, I'm not like you. I'm happy with who I am, the kind of thing. It's like, are you?
That's what I was thinking of. Almost this thing of like, you know, you say that I'm pretending, but you're also pretending. We're all pretending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that can be more of a poker in the side of like, you're quote unquote, you're pretending to be a man and he's pretending to be straight. And that can really put them on the rocks in that regard. And then I think there is some part of this movie that is the thematic umbrella of gay exclusion of trans people. Because I think that's a really interesting thing to explore. If like he's our gay protagonist and he's like, yeah, I'm pretending to be straight, but like, why is that a problem? Like, you're pretending to be a man. We're all just pretending. And then Jake is like, fuck you.
Yes, we will. Yes, as long as we can bring it around to the end to be yes, you were definitely wrong, trans exclusionary faction of the queer community. Yeah.
Right. And that's why I'm wondering, like, maybe there's a way in that.
And I think, you know, in that all is lost moment when Bryce goes back to his friends and they're like, they have like a brunch, you know, just whatever. And, hey, where's Jake? Like, oh, we're not seeing each other anymore. Oh, that sucks. You two like seem to really hit it off. And, you know, you don't really find, you know, as we get older, you don't really find those kind of people. And you know, you found him twice in your life. And
yeah, I think there can also be a thing. I think in that way, because the reason why I'm harping so much on the trans thing is because I feel like I've been watching a lot of more so in the lesbian community, but this discourse around like, can a trans woman be lesbian? There's a lot of like trans exclusive TERFs. There are a lot of TERFs, radical feminist, blah blah blah. But what you could have is you could have him have this dinner with his best friend and he's like, oh, you know, why aren't you with Jake? And he's like, oh, well, did you know that like Jake is trans? And the friend is like, well, yeah, but what's the problem?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm gay. It's like, well, yeah, then what's the problem? You know, it's kind of like this does not compute moment where he's, because I do feel like a lot of people who are, who have a binary sexuality, they have this crisis if they're attracted to somebody that they're not expected to be attracted to. Like a gay man being attracted to a trans man, right? Because they don't have the quote unquote equipment that you're supposed to like as a gay man. There can be a lot of questioning your own sexuality in that moment. And so having that as like an outsider validating that might be a good a good moment.
I mean, it might even be a nice specific thing because, yeah, there's all of this really sort of toxic attitudes around, like being trans inclusive or exclusive. And if there's a moment, maybe it's at this debacle of a club scene where like everything goes wrong, right? But like at this point, like if it happens around the midpoint that Bryce knows that Jake is trans, then if we have a scene a little bit later on, so it's not like trans people don't have sexuality at all, right? Like where we see Jake without a shirt on and there's like an explicit conversation about what top scars look like, right? And and that's a moment to like have Jake wrestle with, but maybe like win against some of those negative impulses about like rejecting this imagery, because it's also something we just don't see a lot, right? Like in sort of mainstream representation anywhere. And to have that shown in a positive way and to have that be portrayed as sexy, like would be a really nice sort of tone to set.
Yeah, I really dig that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. That kind of that argument that they really get into, of, you know, you're pretending and have Jake take off his shirt. Like, this is not pretending.
This is my body.
This is my body. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, this turned into something really cool.
Yeah.
So different than your initial pitch. But I love it.
I really dig it, especially because, I mean, as like a genderqueer bisexual person, there's always, and I date a lot of genderqueer bisexual people, and there's a lot of almost posturing, but there is this weird gatekeeping in the queer community where it's like, are you queer enough? Are you visibly queer enough? If you're trans, are you passing? Are you not? Like, are you trying to be passing? Because if you're trans and not trying to be passing, are you really trans? Mm-hmm. Same thing with like two genderqueer people dating and one person looks like a woman and one person looks like a man. Well, aren't you just basically straight? You know, there's a lot of that sort of stuff that we can challenge here where it's like, you know, a gay man dating a trans man, there are definitely people and probably people in the community that would be like, oh, that's just extra steps to being straight. Yeah. Where it's like, no, that's not at
all. That is exactly the way that they would put it. But I love that it's also in the package of like just like a genuinely sweet, magical, romantic story.
Yes, and I think a lot of whimsy, I love adding the Disney to it. I love adding the kind of like playful, magical element with the pixie dust and like the frog metaphor really brings it home.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a lot of fun.
All right. I think that's it. We pretty much have our structure. You know, they meet as kids, they date a little bit. Bryce figures out that Jake is trans and kind of has a moment with it. They go to this big music thing where everything blows up on them. Bryce realizes how much he screwed up, sends Jake his Mickey Mouse ears being like, you were always my prince. And they end up going to the festival together and having their first kiss.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we got it.
We have a full movie.
All right. Well, I'm
ship it off to Miramax
and do a log line. I'd say ship it off to Hallmark, but it might be a little too gay for them. Ship it off to Netflix. Okay, so I'm going to step away, do a log line, and we will be right back.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Just a quick reminder, as always, that these podcasts are for entertainment purposes only. These ideas are fresh, new, and sometimes submitted by you. Anything said is not meant to infringe on the copyright of any existing work of art, and everything is thought of during this show without any previous influence. If it sounds like something you've already seen or heard, what can I say? That's Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas. Thanks, and enjoy.
Hey guys, we're back. Thank you so much for hanging out, and here is Danny with the logline.
The Prince and the Frog. When socially awkward music promoter Bryce meets the love of his life, Jake, he realizes they met once before, as teenagers. A few decades and a gender transition later, can they both finally be themselves, without caring what other people think?
Love it.
All right, Andrew. You're voting first.
I absolutely save this one. 100% is my idea. No. I came with a seed of an idea, and it turned into something even better than I could have ever thought so. I was just thinking of an awkward teenage kid growing up to be an awkward teenage adult, and you guys brought some really fun romance to it. So I love it.
Yeah, I save it too. This is a really fun idea. I think we have the building blocks there, and this could make a really fun feature. Could also make a really fun short. I mean, the fact that the name The Prince and the Frog isn't taken, let's grab that. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'll write the story. Tiffany, you take over the script, and we'll...
Yeah, we gotta get that book out there, Andrew. We'll adapt it to the screenplay. That way you own the IP.
I do. I feel like this would be a fabulous YA novel. Yes, please. Thank you. I also totally save it. Can I super save it? I love it so much. I want to watch it tonight. I just want all...
Right? Wait, isn't this already a movie?
Right?
All right. Speaking of things that we want to watch tonight, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been watching. Tiffany, you go ahead and go first.
Damn it, I knew you were going to say that. I don't know what I've been watching. It's been a crazy week, y'all. Be honest, I've watched a lot of the Great British Baking Show, season 9. Pretty fabulous.
Yes, you know, I love GBBO.
It's just very comforting. Nobody yells.
Sometimes you just need some, like, warm accents and everybody, like, helping each other instead of, like, trying to sabotage each other. What I love about British game shows is that there's so much about the craft, not so much about the drama, whereas American game shows are all about the drama, not about the craft.
Yeah, you could watch a million hours of Hell's Kitchen and not learn how to cook anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope, not at all. Whereas GBBO, they draw it out for you. They talk about, like, I don't know, the caramel turning into... whatever it turns into when you burn it, toffee.
Yeah.
Burnt caramel. Yes.
Toffee. Burnt caramel, whatever it is. Yeah. All right. Andrew, what have you been watching?
Is this the part where I have to admit I haven't watched a damn thing? It's... it's November, which is National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo.
Oh, NaNoWriMo, yes!
And on top of that, I just had to... I've been editing my next book that comes out in August, and it's finally off to the editor. The second draft is off, and I've been just in my little cubbyhole. Yeah! And so,
oh my gosh.
My TV screen has been a black mirror. No pun intended.
You have been watching your word count go up. That's what you've been watching.
Yeah, so I admittedly have not watched a damn thing. I still... However, let me say this. I cannot believe that these three, us, are the same three that brought that weird-ass story last week and come in this week and talking about, oh, I watched Light and Bright Great British Bake Off. And no, we watch murder shit.
Yeah, I watched Squid Game.
Oh, God.
So I'll bring up the rear with the murder shit. It was good. It was so good. It was so depressing. It was so depressingly good. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just, it's good. Go watch it. I, like, binged all 9, I think, episodes over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it was just, it was so good. Really depressing, really well done. Korean horror thriller, suspense thriller, totally underrated. Like, go watch it all. The next thing I think I'm going to watch is... I don't know if you've seen this, but the one about Alice.
Oh, Alice in the Borderlands.
Yes, Alice in Borderlands. I've heard good things. I've heard that it's even better than Squid Game. So I'm like, ooh, now I got to go watch that. All right. Well, we have three saves for Prince and the Frog, Great British Bake Off, NaNoWriMo, watching that word count go up, hopefully 50,000 words by the end of the month, and Squid Game. All good things, some light, some not. Hopefully we had a lighter episode for you than last week, The Mommy. Prince and the Frog, a great queer love story.
I love it. I wonder if our real constant is that we all love our ideas so much that we're always going to save them.
There we go. That's how you do
this trio, just full of love.
That's right.
Full of great ideas.
Also true.
Yes.
All right. Well, you can find me on Instagram at @officialdannyhanks and on Twitter at @danny_hanks.
You can find me on every social network at @writerbrandt.
And you can find me on Instagram at tiffany.a.albright.
And of course, you can find your favorite podcast at Can We Save Pod on all platforms. That includes Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I think we have a TikTok. We don't have a Facebook, but yeah, Brian, get bit.ly/Can We Save Pod, and that'll be our new Facebook. Brian's going to cut all of this out. But thank you so much for listening, all of you. It's always a joy to be podcasting for you guys. Please rate, give us 5 stars, share us with your friends. You guys keep us going week after week. And we really love engaging with all of you and bringing these great and fun story ideas to everyone. So yeah, if you have any ideas for your own pitches, find us at Can We Save Pod, message them in, and we'll pitch them for you. But until then, thank you so much, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.